The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080.
Hey, we have Haggis news coming up this hour in case you were wanting more discussion about windpipes and spleens. Why wouldn't you? That's coming up. Brittany Watch on the way. Also, your phone calls. We'll talk about that Ren and Stimpy thing here just a short while. Because, you know, why lie? You know, why deny our inherent essential geekness? It's what we are. We've got this. Rick, your show is what people need, even the How Chicks Think part. It's nice to hear geek stuff and goofy things. Your show is the brighter dark spot in this darkness of human entertainment. Excellent. Shout out to Aaron, Geek in the City, and the rest of the geeks with good taste to listen. F. Matt with rolls of toilet paper in the hours that should be on the air.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EdgeFear.com.
F. Matt with rolls of paper towels in the hours that should be on the air. That makes no sense at all.
We
Joel?
Did a Bounty paper towel story a little earlier, maybe.
Yeah. All right, well, okay, Joel. We'll kind of take it, you know, the spirit of your F. Matt, you know, we'll just accept it. It doesn't really make any actual sense, but that's, you know, it's okay. All right, coming up this hour later on, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Today we're going to talk about, well, because tomorrow everybody gets their eat on. Including us, by the way, we're going to be tofurkey, corn, going to be deep frying some turkey goodness. As well as somebody's bringing his pie. And I think we've also got wine. I think we've got endless bottles of alcohol. Richard Nunn, I think, from Fox 12 is going to be here. So that's all coming up. Rob in the House of Rick, I think, is going to be here as well. So,
how about haggis? Anyone bringing haggis?
I really don't know. We got this woman. I want to give props to our friend Michelle, who listens to us in Glasgow. She just sent me a haggis postcard. And she sends me all this Loch Ness Monster stuff. You go back to my desk, man, and there's like 9 million little, like, little just tchotchka things, that just little pieces of a swag that have Nessie on them. And so Michelle listens to us in Scotland. About every 3-4 months sends us a huge-ass envelope full of stuff from Scotland. So, no, probably no haggis. But that's only because it's hard to find sheep stomach. You know, were it more, more easier, were it more easier to do? I don't know. Anyway, I had something else. Oh, coming up in the third hour of the show, we got today's top five songs with the word hero in the title. That's coming up. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's get to it. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
In a gruesome accident, a Perry Meridian High School freshman, this is in Indiana, was killed this morning while riding to school when he stuck his head outside a bus window and was decapitated by a tree. Shortly after the accident, some girls on the bus noticed a raccoon's head in the road and told the bus driver not to hit it, but the driver slowed the bus long enough to determine that the raccoon was dead and then proceeded on. Then Gregory told officials that she had almost come to a stop. She started to back up and she heard a loud thump. And you had one headless Hoosier.
I'm just, we made that observation earlier about poking a dead badger with a spoon. This is another case of, you know, what is it? What got the kid to stick his head out a window? There's a dead raccoon in the road. Kid, I bet I can't miss that. Head out the window and then suddenly, you know, one hat too many. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And Ewan McGregor is upset that his penis is chopped off.
Wait, should this be a penis watch?
It probably should be, but it's not indicated as such.
I'm sorry. I'll tell you what. We'll get the penis. Wait, we got to do this. If we're going to talk about Ewan McGregor's penis, which, of course, why would we miss an opportunity to do that? Yes. We'll do it the right way. We'll roll it as a penis watch, Ewan McGregor style.
Take a look at my
Here's a penis,
penis
watch for Wednesday.
Saying my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. Saying everything is going my way.
All right, there you go.
So Ewan McGregor is upset that his penis is chopped off. He says he's disappointed that American cinema goers will not be able to see his full frontal nude shot in his new movie. Sony Classics decided to cut the scene from the American release of the forthcoming movie, Young Adam.
You know, Ewan McGregor's got a thing about showing his penis off. It's like the 9th movie he's done, where he's just been waving his penis around for reasons that sort of elude explication.
Well, the scene will remain uncut in Britain, but the Star Wars actor asked why his nudity was deemed so offensive when Hollywood rarely censors graphic violence. If you want to see my penis, you have to fly to Britain, says McGregor in Premier Magazine.
I know several people that would make that trip.
If I'd blown away 5,000 people with a semi-automatic machine gun, that would be fine. But I showed my penis. McGregor says it does not amuse me, the horrific violence that comes out of American cinema. But somebody's blank, blank, blank is too much. He also says sex scenes in the movie should be awkward and unattractive, you know, just like sex in real life.
Isn't it the, what was it, was it Velvet Goldmine with Ewan McGregor? Is that the movie where he, he's getting full on, like, porno style, isn't he, in that movie? I don't know, Ewan McGregor's got, it's like every other movie, he's just, it was like, remember in the 80s how Jamie Lee Curtis couldn't go 5 minutes without showing her boobs to somebody? There was this whole swath of time in the 80s. It's another one of those things that people of a certain age remember and everybody else just sort of doesn't. All they know about her is hermaphrodites and whatever. But they, but there was this whole series of time when Jamie Lee Curtis was just showing off her rack, like all the, like you just point a camera at her. It's like off comes the top, which I guess is fine. Here's a weird thing about Jamie Lee Curtis's breasts. Oh, wait, is that our penis watch?
Yes,
yeah, so there's your penis
Take
watch
a
for
look at my enormous penis.
Wow, it's either snowing or raining profusely out there.
Jesus God, look at that.
And the sun is out. I think in Oregon.
I think it's rain.
It looks kind of heavy.
But the sun is slowly vanishing. I can see it sinking behind a cloud. What the hell, man? Is that rain or is that ice? Does anybody know? It can't be ice. The sun.
It looks
the
too
sun.
Heavy for rain.
I don't know. There's something falling out there. Does anybody know what that is falling outside the window?
Is it snowing where you are? Give us a call right now.
I want to talk about my cat. Boy, that's weird, man. You know, we just live in the weirdest place. The weather in this town is just, I mean, in this whole part of the country,
it's completely bizarre.
Now it's starting to lighten up a little bit because we were talking about it.
I'm pretty sure that it's ice because I can see little flakes of it.
We're sitting here talking about the weather. We're sitting here actually doing a show.
And about those loose dogs in my neighborhood.
Yeah, all right. Well, in any event.
Well, police have praised the bravery of an 80-year-old widow who used a ceremonial sword, which she kept on display in her home, to fend off two burglars. The raiders, both aged in their late teens, were forced to flee empty-handed when Jean Freaky, who suffers from angina, rescued wrestled one of them before threatening the other with a sword, which he grabbed off the wall. She suffered bruises in her arm, but otherwise is uninjured. So the two raiders are described as white, ages 18 to 20.
I like the idea of an old woman. I love those stories, by the way. It's like, but the, you know, it's I don't own a gun because I would kill someone with it, probably. Probably someone that I shouldn't. So that's just my thing. But I love those stories about guys who break, they kick down the door of some woman's apartment and they go in and she shoots them in the face with a 12 gauge.
Oh, listen to this. This, sword is from World War I and it belonged to her late husband's father.
See, there you go. It's poetry. It's romantic. I was talking about something and then we got interrupted by that. Yeah, that's almost certainly ice falling outside
well, it's
right
now. It's an ice storm.
Yeah, all right. I had something I was going to say about Jamie Lee Curtis's breast. I don't know, I forget. Rick, my goddamn parents want to eat at 2 effing o'clock, therefore I will miss your Thanksgiving show. Instead, I will be eating dry, nasty turkey, mashed potatoes that taste like baby vomit, and lumpy gravy. F Matt with all of these things and a bloody butter knife.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
My parents might be listening, so just sign me an anonymous religious listener. There you go.
So let's talk about haggis. American tourists want to hunt haggis. A third of all American visitors to Scotland believe haggis is an animal. Researchers have found almost 1 in 4 of those questioned say they came to Scotland under the belief that they could hunt it. U.S. tour operators are even selling haggis hunting tours. One American tourist believed that haggis was a wild beast to the Highlands, no bigger than a grouse, which only came out at night. Anne Finley of Hall says, it's amazing in this day and age that the myth of the haggis roaming the glens continues to resonate with overseas visitors. The recipe for haggis varies, but it can be made using a sheep's stomach bag filled with a mix of sheep's liver, heart, lungs, oatmeal.
I've actually got the recipe right here. I should have thought of this. We could have gotten the Frugal Gourmet music or something. Tim, do we have is there some appropriate jolly music we could bring up for this?
Not to my knowledge.
All right. Okay. I don't know. We gotta find some cooking music at some point for these segments because between this and the head cheese stuff, that I'm constantly getting in the mail, we're just up to our eyeballs in it.
I think we have something.
All right. This comes to us from Michelle in Scotland. What you'll need for this is one sheep's pluck. That's heart, lungs, and liver, and a bag. You'll need some oatmeal, salt, shredded suet. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds terrible.
S-U-E-T.
Yeah. Okay, first thing. Scrape and clean the bag in cold and warm water and then soak in salt water overnight. 2. Wash the pluck, which is, again, heart, lungs, and liver, then boil for 2 hours with windpipe draining over side of pot. Retain 1 pint of stock. 3. Cut off windpipe. Remove surplus gristle. Chop or mince heart and lungs. Grate the best part of liver. How do you determine what the best part of the liver is?
Just 4. Keep going.
Boil and chop onions mixed together with oatmeal. Pack mixture into a bag. Allow for swelling. Allow for swelling. Boil for 3 hours, pricking all over. If bag not available, steam in grease basin. Cloth for 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah, just pick one up at, you know, like Scotland Wendy's or something. There's already
Feed 9. There you go. All right. Thank you. That's Michelle in Glasgow with the recipe for,
thanks for that.
World's best haggis.
Now for the Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch. I saw him dancing there by the record machine. I knew he must have been about 17. The beat was going strong. Playing my favorite song.
This is under the headline, Rancid Rumor. Yet she did it again.
Oh, this is from the New York Post, page 6, by the way.
That's the hot rumor surrounding Britney Spears' visit to Lotus Thursday night. The plucky Pop-Tart supposedly vomited while partying with a passel of pals. Lotus marketing director Wendy Hilton swears it isn't so. There's no truth to the rumor that she was puking. She was in good form. But it wouldn't be the first time Spears lost her lunch at a chic club. Last January, she was overheard retching in a bathroom stall at Joseph's Cafe in Hollywood during a wild night of boozing.
Exactly how would you determine that it's Britney retching? Do you see you have some sort of a particular tone? You know, is there some sort of a unique timbre? There are vomit sounds that you'd be able to discern inside the tiled ensconcement of whatever the club is. And retch is a great word, by the way. Let's all stop and give props to the word retch for being great. Is that your Britney watch?
That is the Britney watch.
There's your Britney watch for Wednesday. Tim Riley, KTK Newsroom.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. Yeah. Does anybody know who these people are? Trista and Ryan's wedding.
That isn't that the Bachelorette?
Maybe. Ed?
Yeah.
After
okay.
that is Extreme Makeover, so it sounds like these are wannabe cable shows or something.
All right.
The OC is on tonight. Seth struggles to make up for the way he acted over the holidays. I don't know how he acted.
Poor Seth. Poor dumb Seth, I guess.
Biography, Home Depot?
If you've been longing to know all about Home Depot.
Well, next week be like Payless Shoes?
Yeah. There's a target demo for that somewhere, I guess. It's just not me.
Scent of a Woman with Al Pacino and Chris O'Donnell. Wow, this film is 11 years old.
Let's talk about Scent of a Woman, though. I mean, boy, I can't tell if that movie's good or not. I mean, it kind of just depends on the day I see it. I remember I actually walked out of that movie the first time I went to see it. I was about halfway through, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take Al Pacino's hideous overacting another minute, and so I left. And then I watched it again later on HBO, and I liked it more. But then I watched it a couple years ago, and I hated it again. So I can't even tell if it's a good movie. It's just one of those things that I guess it's contextual. It's all situational, whether or not that movie's any good. It's one of those things I can't really discern. All right. We've got an answer about Suet. Brett, you're on Hot Talk today, KOTK. What's Suet?
Suet is the excess fat that's removed from butchered animals, and then you throw it in like this big Play-Doh pumper number 9 thing, and he squeeze it out till it looks like top ramen noodles.
Jesus Christ.
And then guys who, like, kill deer or elk, and they want it packaged into pepperoni or whatever hamburger, it's not fat enough because it's too lean, so they add suet to it to make it greasier.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's great at children's parties.
I think. It makes a great gift. All right.
On E! True Hollywood Story tonight, the life and career of Johnny Depp. And one of the greatest holiday movies ever. It deserves 4 stars, but only gets 3. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
God damn, that's a great movie. That's a movie that never gets old. It never gets old. And there's really a paucity of good Thanksgiving movies. I mean, that's the only one I can really think of. Is there another good Thanksgiving movie out there? I mean, something that's not on the Hallmark Channel with John Schneider. I think it's pretty much just Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. A movie that is consistently funny year after year, doesn't get old, doesn't age. Hands down, the best ever John Candy performance that's not Uncle Buck. And one of the all-time great Steve Martin films.
I was a fan of Home for the Holidays for a Thanksgiving movie.
What is that?
It has Holly Hunter and a bunch of other people in it, yeah.
Love me some Holly Hunter.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right.
Have you seen Pieces of April yet?
No, I haven't.
Go see it.
I'm just going to wait for... Did she get nude?
No.
Okay, because usually I just wait for those nude things to appear in Kazaa, and that saves me the $9 and a couple hours of my life.
She doesn't ever nude up for you.
Boy, Katie Holmes, can I just tell you that I got the... What is that magazine? Is it the Rolling Stone this month? Katie Holmes has a bunch of ads for The Gap. And, boy, she just looked beautiful. I mean, Katie Holmes is, you know, as people are not tired of hearing, Katie Holmes is just the object of fantastic amounts of lust on the part of Matt and I. You know, not really my type at all, but damn if she just isn't, like, the cutest thing that ever existed.
Did you ever see The Gift?
With Kate Blanchett?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Katie Holmes completely nudes up in that film.
No.
Yeah, full on.
Really?
Full on. No,
now, she would have been was she even an adult?
She was like 18 or 19 when she did.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Daddy's coming to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
All right. You sound way too excited about this.
Well, come on, what are you going to do? I mean, you should have seen the email that she got about Ewan McGregor's penis. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not alone. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
Gilmore Girls' Lauren Graham plays Billy Bob Thornton's love interest in the hilarious adult comedy Bad Santa. Lauren, tell us about the story, Turning the Holidays Upside Down, and your character, Sue.
It sort of takes all the happy, cozy, sunshiny notions of Santa and the holidays and kind of turns it inside out. I don't know, it's a funny progression that this guy has, and interesting for me to just play someone who's kind of driven by libido and not too much else.
You know, Lauren, talk about your love for Big Papa Rick. That's what
Make
we all want to
Make this Gilmore girl a woman.
Yeah.
Lauren, tell us what it's like to work with Billy Bob.
Working with Billy Bob is great. It's really fun.
And what is it like to be the hottest woman who's ever lived, Lauren Graham?
He has great ideas. You know, he jokes around. I mean, I like to call him William Robert, keep things formal.
You know,
he's really great.
Let me just say that Lauren Graham ought to be making like a full body cast of herself right now. You know? Should just be marketing a full on like rubber duplication.
Say, what
of
do
herself.
You want? One of those real dolls, Lauren Graham
yeah,
style?
Yeah, I would totally buy that. Doesn't matter. Start laying away money now. Lauren Graham. All right. I'm just going to spend some time thinking about that. We're going to come back. We got more, including Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Today we're going to talk about the food prep, because tomorrow everybody's going to be eating. So we're going to talk about the food you can make, meals you can make for a girl, get you in like Flynn. Coming up in the third hour of the show, today's top five songs with Hero in the title. We'll be back. Here's Aerosmith.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And you get the feeling when you see interviews with Lauren Graham that she just doesn't know how hot she is. She's one of those women that I don't know whether she's like a late bloomer or something, or whether she just, you know, never got Hollywood roles for a long time. But I don't think she has any clue just how absolutely incendiarily hot she is. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's off the charts. And she seems totally oblivious to it.
I've seen her in a couple older movies. I can't remember. Just playing, like, you know, side parts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She's like that, what is that, Estrella Warren? Is that what I'm thinking of? That girl who was in Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
Is that it? From Planet of the Apes? Boy, man, it's just another one that just seems like just assembled by the architect himself. It just doesn't even seem possible. Anyway, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Everybody just take a step back from it and acknowledge yet again how this show has the best bumper music of any show anywhere. Doesn't matter. Any show, hands down. Listen to that. That's Mixmaster Mike, Techmaster PEB and DJ Magic Mike. You know, we should just take an entire show, someday on a holiday, we had to just do a show of nothing but music. We had to just sit and just play music for like 3 hours. You know why? It's not that, like, music radio is the best thing going. I mean, obviously, look, let's just be honest. If music radio was worth anything today, if music radio was worth the horse it rode in on, you wouldn't be listening to us. The reason, it's not that we don't do a good show. I'm just saying the reason we get listeners in the first place is because music radio is a big load. It's a bunch of crap. It's all bad. It's all terrible. Probably 94% of the music radio out there is completely useless, has outlived any sort of worth it ever had, and is tottering there like a dying dodo, like a dodo with terminal cancer, just waiting to be taken out back and shot in the base of the skull and buried in a shallow ditch. You know what I mean? Music radio, it's not even, man, it's not even a dinosaur. It's not even a it's just, you know what it is? It's a coelacanth, is what it is. It's not actually extinct, but we all, you know, we act as though it's extinct, and, you know, I'd be surprised at any evidence to the contrary. That's what it is. One of those things you thought had just died out long ago, but continues to linger on, unaware of its own irrelevancy. So, that's what music radio is. This is why, that's why people listen. I mean, also, we do a good job of what we do. I like to think we bring you the horse buggering like nobody. You're talking about babies with knives in their head? That's us. We're on it. We are at the forefront. We are at the bleeding edge, as Rush would say, of societal evolution right here when it comes to doing what we do. But it also helps that the competition is absolutely terrible. You know what I mean? No amount of preparation, skill, or talent can compensate the gift to you of your competition being rung by idiots. And that's what we have right here. The biggest advantage we have in talk radio, and I'm not just saying for me now. I mean, I'll include everybody. I'll include all talk radio across the broadcasting pantheon. But in this case, us, KOTK, more specifically our show right now, the biggest advantage we've got in terms of competition is that the people we're competing with for listeners are stupid. They're deeply stupid, and more to the point, they don't even understand that they're stupid. That's the thing. See, you almost, in a sense, and I know I'm just officially on a whole thing here, but you almost gotta feel sorry for people that are sitting there and they're just, you know, and they're just playing you the same five, like, Sugar Ray songs over and over again, somewhere there's a bunch of white guys sitting around a table somewhere going, we're doing a bunch of surveys, we've discovered that people want to hear nothing but Matchbox 20 and Sugar Ray records constantly, all day long, with some sort of, laser sounds in between about how it's a mix of the best of the 80s, 90s, and today. And then never change that. And then put the same 12 songs in rotation and just play them all day long. And then get some people to laugh at each other's jokes in the morning. And then just turn it off and walk away. And that's it, man. They do that, they set it up, and they turn... You know, it's like those turkey bathers. They set it and forget it. That's what it is, man. You get a music library, the same 149 songs, play them constantly... with some Nimrod yammering in the middle about how it's, you know, it's another three in a row Thursday or whatever, and then you turn it on and then you repeat. That's it. That's their whole formula. So it's like we almost don't even need to do a good job. We can just come here, and as long as music radio continues to be the dying, irrelevant, balding mouthpiece for the man that it is, we will continue to get more listeners because it's just the way it is, man. I'm not trying to dance on the graves of our opposition. I'm just saying it's how it is. So. Anyway.
You feel better now?
No, I'm just making the point, man. And the thing is, it's not even about me. Don't think that it's just me sitting here waxing my own surfboard in public to mind how great. It's not even me. That's the thing is, it's not, it doesn't matter. It's, I could be gone. You know? I could be gone right now. And you could put anyway. What doesn't matter? It could be me. It could be Lycus. It could be Henry. It could be Clyde. I mean, for that matter, it could be people a day. It could be talk radio stations that aren't even us. It could be other talk radio stations. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, it's the same story being repeated everywhere. So it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with, people not needing to hear, you know, like Night Moves every 45 minutes. They just don't. It's, you know? So anyway, so we have to do, one of these days, man, we have to take like a whole day or a whole hour. We have to set aside at least 1 hour of the show and just do it the way it ought to be done, man. Just do an hour of music radio the way it should be done everywhere else. One of these days. We'll put it in the pile, the list of things to do. Speaking of which, although, you know, the funny part is, even as we're talking about this, did you ever do this thing where you get a song just stuck in your head for no apparent, like, you don't even know why the song is in your head? And it's one of those things that it's like, and those of you who came to see, if you saw Bigger Than Jesus, which is the one-man show I did back in the end of June, you saw that, I did this whole part about how there's music that everybody else was aware of, everybody else was familiar with for the longest time, and that it was brand new to me because I'd never heard it, like back in the day, because, you know, back when I was growing up, I mean, I went directly from listening to just like, whatever, like Johnny Mathis records or whatever my parents had on, to just being like a total metal kid, you know, I went from like there to Zeppelin to Metallica you know, all that. And that's all I listened to for years and years. And so there's just this entire swath of music that I was never made familiar with as a kid. And so Laura and I were constantly sitting on the couch watching VH1 Classic, and then something will come on, and I'll just go nuts. I'll just go out of my skull over some song that I think is brand new, and she has to point out that it's from 1985. Like that song, what is that song by Alphaville? That song, Forever Young? And so, like, you all know what it is. You all have heard it a million times. I'd never even heard it till like 2 years ago. Just all of that crap. Like, God, what is that, what is that song? What is that Erasure song? That, a little, is that A Little Respect? Is that, you know? That, you know, I tried to find something to make me sweeter. Yeah, it's totally that. It's like an Erasure song. I'd never heard it till like 2001. Song's been out for like 40 years. I have no idea, no clue, I have nothing.
It's been out long enough that I've forgotten it at this point.
That's what I'm saying. It's, or like, what is that, like that, what are those Tears for, what's that Tears for Fears song that's in Donnie Darko? You know what I mean?
That, oh, which one?
Dun, 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 dun. You all know that. I don't even know what it's called.
Head Over Heels.
I mean, yeah, I'd never even heard it, until, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago. You all have heard it, see, this is, everybody else has gone through the phase where they've heard it, gotten sick of it, quit listening to it, rediscovered it, and thought of it as kitschy and retro. I'm still hearing it for the first time because I was just clueless. I was completely out of touch. All right, anyway. Oh, and I never got to this thing about Ren and Stimpy, nor did we talk about the increasingly goblin-like Catherine Harris. You remember Catherine Harris from the 2000 election? She's talking about running for, what is it? What's Catherine Harris? Is it governor? It's not governor. It's
senator.
Senator. Catherine Harris talking about running for senator from Florida. You want to talk about it? You want to talk about the Democrats' wet dream? You want to talk about a way just to make the Democratic Party rigid and tumescent right now? The Democrats are rubbing their hands together with the glee of a fat child on Christmas morning, just saying, "Oh, please, God." Just saying, "Please, God, with everything in you, I beseech thee, I beg of you, O holy Savior, I implore thee, Jehovah, please let Catherine Harris run for the Senate." Because you know what? That is going to make it easy. You want to talk about money pouring into the Democratic coffers? You want to talk about a war chest, the likes of which you have never seen? Catherine Harris runs for the Senate, it is going to triple any amount of money that the Democratic Party had coming in. And that's why I'll guarantee you right now, I will bet you all the money in my pockets against all the money in your pockets and your parents' pockets right now. That Karl Rove got Catherine Harris in a room somewhere right now, whipping her with a rubber hose, demanding that she not run for Congress in 2004. Because she is just gonna, man, she is just gonna drop a big depth charge right down George W. Bush's windpipe. She does that. Alright. Alright. Anyway, we got them, and the Ren and Stimpy thing remains untalked about by me. We'll get to that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We got more coming up, including Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on today's top five songs with the word hero in the title. And the more your phone calls, stay there. Talk to Nettie K at TK. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. We'll be back.
I'm Rob Basin, I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because I get stupid. I mean, not racist. Stay away from me, it's because they just, because I'm a winner. No, not a loser. The BNMC is what I choose. The ladies love me, girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me like the way that I rhyme at a show. The reason why, man, I don't know, so let's go, cause it takes two to make things go right. It takes two to make it out of sight.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's because I got, what is that song by Adam Ant? I got Goody Two Shoes stuck in my head. For reasons completely unknown to me.
You've had that in your head for a couple days now,
and for days,
you?
And I don't think I've seen it. I mean, I saw it on VH1 Classic, I don't know, about a month ago, and that's another song that I'd never heard until like 6 months ago. I don't even know when it came out. When did Goody Two Shoes come out? Like 1986?
Or earlier, maybe 84, 85?
1920, you know?
Well, feel good about yourself. You're the one who introduced me to Meatloaf.
That's what I'm saying. But so that was what prompted the whole thing about songs that get stuck in your head. I got Goody Two Shoes stuck in my head. It's just there like a leech, man. It's there like a tapeworm inside your intestines. It just won't come out. I can't get Adam Ant out of my head. What was I talking about? Nothing. Here's the traffic with Sarah Dillon.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Has heard 50 billion times. I've probably heard the song less than a dozen times in my life. It's one of the benefits of just being like a complete and utter, you know, like rock and roll snob when I was a teenager. Being such a metal purist. It's all it is, man. I just spent like 5 years of my life, and it didn't, if it wasn't shrieked by some guy with multiple tattoos and piercings, I wasn't listening to it. Got a great drum track. And I just wonder how it is that I never heard this. Doesn't make any sense. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. You wonder if somewhere Brian Setzer was just like sitting in a dark room somewhere with the radio on when he heard this. It's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend Jolie from the front desk for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. All right.
Nice transition of the music there. I'm really excited about my topic today.
All right. Well, great. There's nothing I like more than making you happy. That's what I do. I live to serve.
Yeah, right.
All right. Hey, so tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Are you going to be here?
I'm afraid not.
Because why?
I have plans.
Which are what? What plans did you have that are more important than this program?
Maybe my family?
Oh, please. You don't even like your family. I know that that's true.
Oh,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
No one likes their family. Liking their family is one of those things that people sort of say. You know what it is? It's like when the guy calls your house and he says, do you download illegal music off, you know, Napster, you know, Kazaa, where do you go? No, I purchase more CDs now because of Kazaa. It's like it's the proper answer to give. You know that you're supposed to say it. It's like when they say if you like your family. No one likes their family.
Family's
if you like
important,
your family,
Rick.
You still live with them.
It's all you got.
You'd still live there if you were big fans of your family. You wouldn't have moved away. You'd still be there in your mom's basement. You know?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And tomorrow's big day. People, you know, make a lot of food. They put a lot of time and labor into creating fantastical, you know, gourmet masterpieces. But the question is, so this brings up, we were talking about this today. The question is, if you're a guy, because guys are always in the making dinner for girls. That's a surefire way to impress some chick, bring it back to your place, you know, make a little souffle, make a little bouillabaisse or whatever. The question is, what is it that you can make for a girl that we're guaranteed they're going to get in like Flynn? Food that's either aphrodisiac in and of itself and its contents, or that is, you know, that's just merely impressive to serve.
Well, this is interesting. I have two ways I can answer this, because I actually, you know, I did some research, like I always do.
Came answer
up
the
with
way
a
that requires
lot
you
of information, and then I also found a quiz, the aphrodisiac quiz.
Answer in the way that requires you talking the least.
Oh, boy, wow.
I'm just saying.
It's a toss-up, really.
I'm trying to help the people.
We probably won't have time to do the quiz, so I'll just give you what I found.
All right.
Actually, our friend Justin said, you know, basically for your audience, pretty much GHB is going to be the only thing that works.
Any food that uses rohypnol as a main ingredient.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but my idea is actually two really nice ripe tomatoes nesting next to a really big spicy sausage.
What? Matt?
All right, I'll move on.
That's not going to work at all.
Okay.
Joel is creating her own phallic food.
Yeah, trying to create phallic food is not going to work.
Oh, yes, it is, Rick, because whatever your name is. Because, let me find my name. Okay, basically.
Doing a little holiday drinking?
Aphrodisiacs were, there's like two cases of beer by my desk. Beer. By my desk, so...
You were drunk. You were
and they were cold
drunk.
When Merle brought them in, so... Yeah. I've been drinking for 2 days. But okay, they were first sought out as a remedy for various sexual anxieties, including fears and inadequacy, as well as the need to increase fertility. And undernourishment, if you probably don't know this, but it creates a loss of libido as well as reduces the fertility rates. Okay, so let me go a little further. And the other types of foods were stimulating by their physical resemblance to the genitalia, Matt. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, it was great.
If you're trying to make a dinner for a woman, if you're a guy, and you're trying to make a dinner that's going to get you laid...
And you're making something that looks like a big penis.
Putting two tomatoes next to a big sausage is not going to get you laid on the surface.
Cooking some sort of a squash that resembles a vagina is not going to turn anybody on. Okay.
Well, let me just get...
Do you have examples?
Here. I do, actually. Because I went... All you have to do is go look up aphrodisiac on the internet, and you'll get all these great ideas. There's this cookbook, Intercourses, an aphrodisiac cookbook, that actually has recipes, and it also has meals to appeal to every astrological sign, Rick. Yes. And every stage of the relationship from the first date to the golden anniversary.
I see now that this was a colossal mistake on my part.
I've got a few ideas here, though, and I'll run through them with the reasoning under them.
Oh, joy.
Avocado. Now, the Aztecs called the avocado tree, I can't pronounce this, Ahucahuatl, which translates...
I'm sorry, I can't keep it together.
It's A-H-U-A-C-U-A-T-L. Can you pronounce that? I don't know, but it's avocado.
No, quit
listening. It means testicle tree.
Oh,
and because
okay,
the ancient thought of the fruit hanging in pairs on the tree resembles the male testicles. Okay, then we've got the banana. And banana is a marvelous...
Couldn't I just hang my actual testicles in front of your face and have the same effect then? All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy, sets you free. And I'm thanking you for knowing exactly.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
201, I'm Tim Riley. Don't miss the annual Teddy Bear Toss this Saturday night when your Winter Hawks take on Seattle at the Coliseum. What you do is you bring in a new teddy bear and then toss it onto the ice when the Portland team scores their first goal. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster or WinterHawks.com. Thanksgiving has already gone up in smoke for a garbage truck driver. He was driving on 217 of Barnes Road around noontime when he noticed his garbage truck was on fire. No word what caused it, but he got out safely. Trapped there, he's been tied up for quite some time. Then emergency crews rescued a man who fell 30 feet into a Gresham ventilation shaft. 32-year-old Michael Joseph Nelson suffered a broken leg in the fall. He was life-flighted to Emmanuel. Apparently he's a transient. He just called into the shaft to keep himself warm. A 33-year-old Whatcom County man who refused to leave his truck and asked for sheriff's deputies to shoot him has been found dead. The sheriff's office says a number of pills was found next to the body. And chains and traction tires are required if you're heading up Mount Hood over Santa M. Pass or taking State 58 from Eugene over the Willamette Pass. You better put them on, too. The maximum fine for not having chains or traction tires when you're required to is $579. Showers this afternoon and for tonight, tomorrow too. Serious rain coming in tomorrow night. Tim Riley, KOTK News.